Well, Newton was here. It took me back in my own mind and thinking about youth ministry a little bit. I started out ministry as a junior high youth pastor, and during those years, some people would come and ask me, "Hey, what do you attribute the success that's going on in the youth ministry?" We had a successful, growing ministry. And in the early days, I used to say, "Oh, well, you know, it's the programs, and it's the way we teach the Bible, and it's the volunteer leaders." And that's all good, and it was right and true, and they deserved a lot of credit. But it wasn't long before I was seeing the real reason that the junior high youth ministry at our church was working well. So when people would ask that question, I had a new answer. And here's how I said it. It's because all the old people at our church believe in the ministry and they believe in the youth pastors. Now, I hope you're okay with me calling some of you old people this morning. If you hang with me by the end, hopefully it'll be a term of endearment, okay? Pastor Jeff, when he asked me to preach this week, he knew about what a blessing in my life it was to have my grandparents and that generation as friends and support in my life. Now, he called you senior saints, but I was like, nah, they're old people. So we'll use that word this morning. You know, we've been talking about celebrating the generations here at CBC, and we're going to talk about that together in June. And my heart's passion is deep, and it runs deep, for my grandparents and that generation and for the blessing that I received in my life because of them. My grandfathers particularly, man, they were always like encouraging me. Like everything I did, man, they were like, "Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing awesome. Keep going." They were really great encouragers. The thing I liked the most was they'd let me do stuff my parents wouldn't let me do. When I was 12, I skipped school one day with my two grandfathers, and we went to the Mercer County Livestock Auction, and I bought cows and brought them home. We didn't live on a farm. Sometime I'll tell you the rest of that story. Then when I got my learner's permit, I had it like about a week, and I'm at church, and my grandpa's like sitting in church. Instead of listening to the preacher, he's nudging me and going, "Hey, did you get that learner's permit?" I'm like, "Yeah, right here. You know, I'm getting it out." He goes, "How'd you like to drive home after church in my car?" I'm like, "Yeah." We drove home. We got there safely. And my mom and him had the biggest fight I've ever seen in my life. "He's not trained. You let him drive your car. You don't have insurance for him." And she was going on and on. He's like, "Chill out, will ya?" I mean, my grandfather was so cool. He was like, "Hey, okay, he doesn't get the turn signal thing yet, but we made it home in one piece." He made me feel like I was the greatest driver in the world. Well, then in my early ministry career as a junior high pastor, my job description was a little strange. I've never seen one then or since like it. The job description was: spend half of your week building the junior high ministry, spend the other half building a ministry to our retired people and above. So I spent half my week doing junior high and the other half hanging out with the old people. They have a lot in common, you know, junior hires and old people. That's a sermon for another time. But it worked out well mainly because I look back and say, I have received so much more from that generation than I was ever dreaming I could give. So when Pastor Jeff said, "Will you take this topic?" I said, "Absolutely." What I want to start off this morning with is to go to our Bibles and let's get a feeling and a flow for what God has to say about older people, about the older generations. And you will see and know by the time we're done that there is about 200 verses in Scripture that uses the word elder or elders. there's this theme that flows clear from the Old Testament all the way through into the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, and it's a theme of showing us what God thinks about older people. This word elder or elders is used about 200 times in the Old and New Testament. And the base word in English is presbyter or presbyteros, meaning an older or a senior person. Often this word is used to describe a civil or religious leadership group called the elders. That's a term we're familiar with at CBC. When we use the word elder, most of you realize that's talking about the folks around here, the guys that lead the church. You know, they're in a position of being chosen by the church to lead the church. So this word elder is used both ways in the Bible. It describes an official group called the elders, and it also describes an older or senior type person. I want to take you to the book of Leviticus. And as you're opening your Bibles to Leviticus, I also want you to know that in your bulletin notes, there is a list of verses on the back side. There's a lot of key verses listed there. And this morning, I'm going to choose 7 of those verses. And we're going to walk through the whole scripture and see this theme or flow to understand what is God's thought on older people. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Clear in the front of your Bible in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 32. It says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." Here in Leviticus 19, we see that for the nation of Israel, they're being given a list of laws on how to live. And these are various laws in this list. And right here in verse 32, we find this instruction, "Rise in the presence of the aged." They actually had a law on the books, so to speak, that said when older people come into the room that you're to stand up. That's a sign of respect. You know, we still do that today. More when I was a kid, often when a woman would come in the room or a woman would come to the dinner table, I was trained that you stand up. You know, it's a sign of respect. Don't do so much of that anymore, but it's easy to understand this law, isn't it? Catch what's here with this command to rise, though. It says, "Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." The sentence structure in this verse connects our ability and our action of respecting older people as revering God. There's a connection here. God's saying, if you love me, if you revere me, you will do this. You will have respect for people that are older than yourself. Let's skip over now to Deuteronomy. We're going to go a little farther along to the book of Deuteronomy. And you're looking for chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. In Deuteronomy, there's more laws and guidance on how to live. These verses are kind of shocking, to put it bluntly. As I read it, you'll see. You'll say, wow, is that really in the Bible? Deuteronomy 21:18. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid." Now, I'm not reading that verse today, especially you younger guys. I'm not going to suggest that when you're disobedient, we're going to take you out and stone you, okay? However, think of the serious nature found in this verse of what God thinks about younger people not obeying parents or older people. It's kind of mind-blowing. It says, you must purge the evil from among you. In God's eyes, if you say, well, what does God think about older people and respecting them? Well, you're looking at it. In His eyes, it's evil when we do not respect and obey those over us. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. I appreciate that you're walking this through with me because I'm attempting to just give you samples along throughout the Bible to give us a base understanding of God's thoughts on this. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. You're looking for chapter 11, verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 3 says this, when all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, he made a compact with them, or an agreement, before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, as the Lord had promised through Samuel. I chose this verse to share with you as a representation of the many verses in the Old Testament where when something big is happening, you see the elders there. Now in this case, we're talking about all the elders that had an official position in Israel coming together and to be part of this anointing of King David. So it's a big time in the history of Israel. But what I realized was, you see all through the Old Testament that the elders and the older people are always in the center of the decision-making and leadership. And that's what you can see in this verse. So when we read scriptures, anytime you're talking about that official position of elders or older people, you will see that God desires for them to be in the center of that decision-making and that leadership structure. Now let's go to Isaiah. This is the last verse in the Old Testament I want to show you. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 3. This is another kind of a shocking verse in a way. Isaiah chapter 3. In this chapter in Isaiah, in my Bible, the heading on that is called Judgment on Jerusalem and Judah. So Isaiah is explaining what it looks like when God's judgment comes upon a people. Or you can think of it this way. If God removes His hand of protection and leadership from a nation or from a church, really bad stuff happens. And there's a whole list in chapter 3 of what that really bad stuff is. But look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, people will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will rise up against the old. Now, follow me with this. This verse is telling us that when things go bad, when God removes His hand of leadership from a people group, that one of the terrible things that happens is the young rise up against the old. Now, in our culture, you know, this is maybe a little different for us because today, a lot of younger people do a lot of things and get really far in life, even if they're disrespectful to older people. In fact, a lot of times in our culture, you'll see the whole kind of trend lately is to mock older people and to say that they're not valuable, that they're out of touch. You know what I mean? They're not Facebooking and tweeting and doing all these cool things that everyone's doing. So we say, oh, well, they're over the hill. They're out of touch. This verse is saying if we develop those attitudes, that's a really bad and dangerous thing. I want to take you to the New Testament now. Three more verses I want to share with you. Matthew 15, verse 4. keep in mind, we're weaving this thread through the whole Bible of seeing what's in here about older people and God's attitude on this. Matthew 15, verse 4. These are the words of Jesus, and he's quoting the Old Testament in Exodus. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. You know, one way you could say, well, the Old Testament talked about how bad it was to disrespect or not honor the older generations. Well, as soon as you get into the New Testament, right, this is the first book in the New Testament, and it's the words of Jesus quoting the Old Testament, he's now setting that bar high and saying that we must obey those kinds of principles. I want to take you to Titus. Let's go to the book of Titus. You find Titus right after Thessalonians and Timothy. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. That's the way I always get there. And it's the longer word first, Thessalonians, then in smaller Timothy, Titus. So you thought I was a really smart pastor, but I have to have all these little tricks so I can find my way around. Okay. So don't feel bad if you have trouble finding stuff once in a while. Titus 2:2. The book of Titus is written by the Apostle Paul to Titus. Titus was Paul's friend. He also discipled and mentored Titus. And he's giving him advice now that Titus himself is in ministry. And here's the advice he gives him in Titus chapter 2. I'll read verse 1 and then verse 2. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. So you have Paul here giving some instruction that we start to see a flavor, especially in the New Testament, that there's not this blanket statement. Hey, if someone's older than you, respect them and, you know, look up to them. No, Paul's very clear about requirements that older people would maintain a lifestyle that makes it possible for younger people to respect them. He says right in there in verse 2, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect. But there's still that flow there that an older person should be respected by a younger person. Finally, I want to take you to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, a little farther back in your Bible. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 gives guidance for elders and how they should live in verses 1 through 4. But I want to show you what verse 5 says. After those rules are given, in verse 5 it says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. See this verse again. The whole way through the Bible, this theme that younger men and women should respect and honor those who are older. Now, with that said, you know, I don't think there's any of us in the room, hopefully, that could say, well, how does God really feel about this? If you're in doubt, you know, there's about 200 more verses like that that basically have the same thoughts and themes running through it. So this morning we're getting a clear picture saying, okay, this is what God thinks about older people and that we should be respecting them and that there should be just that honor giving to them. Well, let's bring this home to today a little bit. Okay, we see that that's in Scripture. Now, what do we do about it? What does that look like for us? I want to suggest this morning that the best way to respect or honor anyone is by building a respectful relationship with them. You can respect and honor people from a distance, but it really doesn't amount to much. You know, after we looked at this scripture saying we should honor older people, then my takeaway for us this morning is all of us need to be building a respectful relationship with older Christians. And I'm just going to say older Christians because we're here in church this morning. This applies to relatives and friends and things like that. There should be respect and honor given to everyone. But as long as we're in the church this morning, let's make that our goal in the next minutes. Here's what I'd like to do. I've boiled this down to say everyone should build respectful relationships with older Christians for three reasons. There might be 100 reasons, but these are the best three I think I can bring you this morning. Number one, they're smarter than you think they are. Older people are smarter than you think they are. Now, depending on your age, okay, when you're younger, you really think, right, like mom and dad, clueless, out of touch, uncool, all that kind of stuff, right? I didn't hear an amen on this corner. What's going on over here? Moms and dads are usually pretty, like, out of touch with stuff, right? You guys, they're scared to answer me. They're like, okay, what are you going to do next with that one? We tend to think that as people get older, that maybe they don't have much wisdom to offer us. And just the opposite is true. I think I've seen a pattern through the years of why sometimes younger people don't recognize the wisdom that is there in an older person's life. It's because with wisdom comes this idea that you're only going to share your wisdom with someone who has a heart and ears to hear it. You know, older people aren't going to like chase you down and say, stop, I want to tell you how wise I am. I mean, that's not going to happen. But if you have an attitude like to an older person, oh, you have nothing to offer me, then they're pretty much going to be like, okay, go ahead, you'll learn, you know. When I was 17, I went to work in my first machinist job. I went into this company. The boss of the company hired me. I was still in high school. And he took me into the plant on that first day. And we walked through this big facility with all this machinery running. And he took me way back in the corner. It was kind of dark all around this corner, except right in the corner it was real light. And when I got back in the corner, there was this old guy back there. His name was Wayne Carpenter. And Wayne Carpenter had a hard time hearing because he'd spent his whole life working there around the heavy machinery. You could barely see his eyes because his glasses were so thick. And he was real hunched over. He had some kind of problem with his back. And I thought, this is my boss? I got to report to this old guy. I'm like, he could be dead by the end of the day, you know. What am I going to learn from this guy? Fortunately, for my sake, because I was brought up to respect older people and I respected my grandparents and their friends and things like that, I showed what respect I could to Wayne. And it was amazing because as I started to work in that machine shop, Wayne would start to teach me and show me things. It was really ironic that a lot of the machine operators out there in that plant would mock Wayne. They were guys probably in their 20s who ran this machinery. And at times they would sit around on their breaks and mock him. Say the old hermit that works in the corner, call him old man and all this stuff. I eventually found out that they really didn't understand or know Wayne at all. As we built a relationship, I found out that much and many of those pieces of equipment in that shop were designed and hand-built by Wayne Carpenter. At that time in history, that was the only shop in the world that could do some of the things that were being done. I found out that Wayne held multiple patents on this machinery. The bottom line was he was a mechanical genius. I just thought it was so ironic that these younger guys out in the shop, their job wouldn't even exist if it wouldn't have been for Wayne, and they're mocking him. See, and they didn't even take the time to know who Wayne was. They had no clue he even built this machinery. They had no clue that when they weren't there, when the machinery was shut off, that he was there repairing it and keeping it going. Yet, they were young and foolish and mocked him. How terrible would it be at CBC if that kind of an attitude started to infiltrate into our hearts? We sit in this room today. We enjoy this air conditioning. We sit in these chairs because someone came before us and made that sacrifice and got the job done. And some of us who are younger have the audacity to sit around and think, oh, well, these older people, out of touch, outdated, don't know what's going on. It's the same thing I saw back in the shop. No one understood who Wayne was because they didn't take the time to know him. I have some suggestions for you under this reason number one. A suggestion for younger people is this. Be humble enough to recognize wisdom when you see it. You need to keep your eyes open for wisdom. Don't write off people who are older than yourself or out of touch or out of style or whatever it is that you think is important. Be humble enough to recognize that wisdom. Now here's a suggestion for older people. Oh, you know what? I better stop. You're probably wondering, well, which category am I? Am I the younger or I'm the older? Okay, well, everyone in the room thinks you're part of the younger. I get that, right? No one wants to be older. Well, just for the sake of conversation this morning, if you're retired already, you're part of the older group, okay? Now, I don't care, you know, Pastor, I retired at age 50. I'm still a young man. I get that, but for today, you're one of the older ones, okay? We're going to draw the line right there, all right? If you're an older person in the room, here's my suggestion for you. Share your life and wisdom with younger people. Both your successes and your failures. When Wayne Carpenter mentored me, I was his machinist apprentice. The best thing he did for me was at times to say, whoa, stop, don't touch that dial. Hey, don't push that button over there. He said, boy, I did that once and destroyed about $100,000 worth of equipment. You see, older people who will trust someone enough that through that relationship to share their mistakes is very valuable for younger people. And I think it doesn't happen as much in the church as it even happens other places. Why? Because as Christians, we don't want to admit our failures and our mistakes. But if you're an older Christian and you have the courage and build that relationship enough to trust somebody with that information and say, hey, boy, I see you're struggling with this. Man, when I was your age, boy, these sins and this struggle was part of my life too. We think that in doing that, that it's going to hurt the relationship, but it does just the opposite. It tells younger people, whoa, man, there is hope for me. Maybe my life can go somewhere. You know, we're all kind of the same in those areas. So if you're an older person, you find younger people who are willing to listen, go ahead, share with them both the successes and the failures. So we're saying this morning, everyone should build respectful relationships with older Christians. Reason number one, they're smarter than you think they are. Reason number two, thank you for that amen, brother. Now we know who one of the old timers is in the group. Reason number two, they'll bless you more than you can imagine. They will bless you more than you can imagine. It's such a beautiful thing in the body of Christ, in the church, when there's mutual give and take and encouragement and relationship between younger people and older people. I couldn't give you a list of all the ways I've been blessed by the older generation in my lifetime. I think I want to share this with you, though. There's still older people back in from my other ministries that pray for me every single day. Sometimes I'm blown away to talk to one of them. I maybe haven't talked to them for years, and they say, "You know, Pastor Todd, you're still great. I love you. I pray for you every day." Now, I love having relationships with my peers and younger people, but honestly, it's pretty unlikely that some of them are praying for me every day. You know, even that act of praying for people who are younger is incredibly encouraging. Let me give you some suggestions. Suggestions for younger people under this theme of they'll bless you more than you can imagine. Ask sincere questions and be a good listener. Ask sincere questions and be a good listener. This one's really rough, the younger you are. Okay? Looking back now on my life, one of the great mistakes of my life, that's where the title comes from this morning for this sermon, the great mistake in my life was to think that some things in life were so important that I didn't spend time, particularly with my grandparents, the way I wanted to. I remember being 16, 17. My grandparents were still living. I got my first car, and all of a sudden, work, friends, football, girlfriend, everything in life was more important than my grandparents and people from their generation. I mean, they were way down somewhere on the list. You know, then even into adulthood, you know, see them at Christmas and Thanksgiving and a couple times here and there. Guys, I don't care if you're in junior high or you're 30 years old. There is probably no better investment of your time, relatively speaking, than to sincerely sit down with older people and build that relationship and give a listening ear to what they have to offer you. Because that will be a true blessing in your life. Here's a suggestion for older people. Be an encourager, not a complainer. Be an encourager, not a complainer. I've been with older people enough to know that a lot of you have a lot of legitimate reasons to complain about life. The longer you're blessed to be alive and walk this earth, I believe the more difficult life becomes in many ways. You know, the heartache of outliving your best friends is a tough deal. There's people here this morning who a lot of their best friends in life are now gone. They've passed away. That is rough. Us younger people don't know about that yet. Physically speaking, there's people in this room this morning that have challenges because they're getting older that us younger people know nothing about. And when you meet genuine, sincere people who aren't going to become complainers, they're not going to tell you about all that. But all that stuff's going on. But here's what you have to remember. As an older person, it's tempting to want to complain to people so that you can get some attention, so that you can get some help. The problem is, if you fall into this trap as an older person of becoming this complaining or bitter person, you're going to drive everybody away. You have to be wise enough to know that younger people can't relate to your struggles. And take that stuff to the Lord. Share it with some of your own peers and things like that. Don't become bitter. Don't become complaining. You're going to have to be careful of that. Okay? Finally, here's the third reason. Reason one to build a relationship with older people. They're smarter than you think they are. They'll bless you more than you can imagine. And reason number three, they need you more than they'll admit. They need you more than they'll admit. unless an older person is a complaining, bitter type of person, they are not going to be hounding you and talking about the needs and the things going on in their life. In fact, I still remember my great-grandmother and my grandmother had this little phrase. They said, "We don't want to become a bother to anyone." So there are many honorable, wonderful older people who need help from younger people, but yet they're not going to share that right away a lot of times. That's just not who they are, and that's not going to happen real quick and real well. There's something that I kind of stumbled into, not because I was so smart about things, but as I would visit older people as a pastor, I'd be in my dress pants and my dress shirt and my tie, and I'd go to their houses. I did that a lot. I averaged about 40 in-home visits per month in my other role as a pastor. So I was in older people's houses a lot. And I just started this thing of when I was with them, you know, we would read scripture, we would pray, we would get to know each other. But I would always look for some kind of little way I could serve them. Like something they weren't going to ask me about, especially being their pastor. Just so I could leave and do something like hands-on to help them out. I still remember my first visit to Laverne Eckholm. Laverne Eckholm was 85 years old. I had my pastoral visit. We prayed. And before I left, I said, "Ecky, what are you doing the rest of the day?" He said, "Oh, I'd like to go out back and cut some brush with my chainsaw, but my chainsaw isn't running." I said, "Ecky, I got my tools in the trunk." I said, "Let's work on your chainsaw." And before I knew it, I had my tie flipped back over my shoulder. I was in Ecky's shed, and we had that chainsaw running. Of course, when I left, I thought this could have been the end of my job because probably his children dismantled the saw because he's 85 years old, and he shouldn't be walking around the woods with a running chainsaw. So I didn't know whether my job would end at that point or not. There was another woman. Every year in the spring and fall, she would have me take her porch furniture from the basement out to her porch. This little thing, she would have never asked me for help unless I would have offered. Why? Sometimes it's just plain embarrassing. I mean, some people led these wonderful, huge lives of doing great things, and now they can't even carry a simple chair from the basement to the porch. You and I, if we're younger, we need to be in tune with that and offer to be helpful. So that's the suggestion for younger people. Look for tangible ways to love and serve older people. Be on the lookout for it. Sometimes stuff you think is very little, that's the stuff when they're with their friends later, they're going to be bragging about it. You know, there was Millie with her friends at the tea party going, "Oh, Pastor Todd took my chair onto the porch for me. Oh, he loves me so much." I'm thinking, what's the big deal? It's a chair, right? That's another thing to keep in mind. If you're helping out your parents, your grandparents, older people, you may be the last one they actually say thank you to, but many of them will run around bragging about you and talking about you in their circles. You know, so you never know how thankful sometimes people are. Here's the suggestion on this reason number three for older people. Share your needs with a gracious spirit. Share your needs with a gracious spirit. One woman I visited one time was sitting there and I saw there was a box there with a brand new box with a vacuum cleaner in it. This was springtime of the year, and I said, "Oh, I see you got a new vacuum." She said, "Yeah, it was a Christmas present." I said, "A Christmas present? It's like spring. Why aren't you using it? Don't you like it? Are you going to take it back?" "No, it's just in three pieces, and I don't know how to put it together." And I said, "Would you like me to put it together for you?" "Oh, no, I don't want to be a bother," right? I said, too bad. Do you have a screwdriver? Let's put this thing together. Please, if you're not a whining, bitter, complaining older person, please share what some of your needs are. You know, you'll be discerning. You'll find people you trust and you know they have a sincere heart and they want to be helpful. When you spot that, share some of your needs. Okay, that'll build that relationship together. Have you ever thought about life in a way where if somebody, you could go back in time and redo something or change something in your life, a mistake you've made or something like that? When I think about that, if I had a chance to go back in time, the great mistake that I would make right is that in the last 5 or 10 years of my own grandmother's life, I did not spend the time like I should have with her. We cared for one another. There was no rift there or problem. It's just that life marched on, and I thought she'd be around for many, many years. She just passed away in November of 2006. Her own mother lived into her 100s. We just all figured Grandma was good for another 15 or 20 years. She was in great shape. And suddenly, she was gone. And in those moments, I said, I was mistaken. I made a huge mistake. While I had the opportunity, I missed it. I want you right now to think about and look around in your own life. And here's a question of application for you this morning. Who is it that you need to invest more time with? It could be a parent, a grandparent, someone in this church, someone in your neighborhood. Is there someone that comes to mind right now? Now, some of you, right, are thinking, I can't even find someone older than me to invest in. If that's the case, turn this around and look towards the younger generations and say, who is it that God will lay on my heart that I can invest in? And then the final question this morning, how will that look? What is it this week that you can do about that? I have a person in my mind for myself and something I want to do this week to encourage and respect that older generation. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. I'm going to have a quick prayer as the worship team comes out to lead us through a few songs. Father, in these moments, even as we worship you in these songs together, may you be imprinting this message onto our hearts that we would understand how to be people and to be a church that honors, respects, and celebrates our older generation. In Jesus' name, amen.